The spirits of Egypt's 5,000-year-old pyramids, if they could speak today, what might they say about the Democratic presidential elections taking place across the country? Perhaps very little. This is a historic moment for a nation that predates democracy by a few thousand years, and yet is adding a dramatic chapter to the story of democracy on the streets of Cairo and around the country. Our BBC colleague Yolanda Nell sent this tweet from Cairo this morning. "I made an old man cry asking how he felt about the election. I feel it's back to being Egypt," he said. For millions in Egypt, this is a promise, paid for in blood, fulfilled in theory at the ballot box.
We're waiting for some kind of revolution or something like that. We have to move. We're not going to stand still.
That voice is from January 2011, those Tahrir Square protesters and the citizens who supported them and the world that watched the uprising have all been waiting since then for this moment. And while there are hopes for the best, there are plenty of fears. This voice is from the days of the parliamentary elections about 6 months ago that were also a huge step forward for Egypt.
There is an election. Just give the other people a chance. Don't give it to your son.
Cynicism or hope? Right now it is the popular Islamist parties arrayed against the military establishment with the secular constituencies in the middle, and it's considerably more complicated than even that. Noel King, a freelance journalist in Egypt, has witnessed much of this transformation, joins us now to take us full circle on this Egyptian revolution. Noel, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, John.
Let's talk about the forces arrayed in this presidential election. We do have the military power that is very much on the minds of everyone in Egypt. We have the Islamist front-runner candidates, at least four of them. And then there are progressive parties. Are they on the fringe or are they in the middle?
Well, at the moment, the progressive parties are on the fringe a little bit. There is a fault line running through Egypt right now among the top four candidates, the four men who have a real shot at winning this election. Two of them are from the family and the background of political Islam, namely the Muslim Brotherhood. The other two candidates who have a good shot are men with ties to the regime of Hosni Mubarak. One of them, Amr Moussa, has tried to downplay those ties. The other one, Ahmed Shafiq, a former prime minister of Mubarak's, is playing up those ties. What this election will show us, will illustrate to both us in the outside world and to Egyptians themselves, because remember, polling data has been wildly divergent. We have no idea which direction this election is really moving in. It'll tell us whether Egypt is moving toward a country that expects to find its salvation in political Islam, or whether it is moving toward a secular country that is willing to put up with men who were linked to the Mubarak regime, if those men can offer them security and stability, like Egypt witnessed when Mubarak was president.
Well, let's talk about that security and stability issue, because while the secular model goes back to, you know, the secular movement that ended the Ottoman Empire in Turkey, there are all kinds of secular Islamic models in the world. But in terms of the streets of Egypt, there is a real sense that people want security. They want to return to some sort of normalcy. Is there a particular candidate that offers that most credibly?
There is one who is certainly trying. Ahmed Shafiq was the last prime minister that Hosni Mubarak appointed. He was in office for a month before he was swept out of office with the revolution, during the revolution. Shafiq, unlike every single other candidate in this race, has been playing up at every opportunity his links to Mubarak. He said something recently which really struck people here. He enjoys needling liberal activists in particular. He publicly said, "Kids, I'll give you candy if you'll get out of Tahrir Square and go home." He's extremely unpopular, as you might imagine, among young revolutionaries. At the same time, among Egyptians who are concerned with rising crime rates, with a number of pitched battles in the street, which happen every couple of months, Ahmed Shafiq is proving to be a pretty popular candidate, despite his ties to a really reviled former leader.
Let's talk about the Muslim Brotherhood for a moment. I mean, in a sense, there is a widespread view in Egypt that if we just had an opportunity to rule by Islam, that stability would come to Egypt. There's also a sense that the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been around since the 1920s or even before, is a well-established network that could conceivably rule. Which is it, Islam or the track record of the Brotherhood itself?
This is make or break time for the Muslim Brotherhood. What's happened within this organization is the candidate that they've put forth, Mohamed Morsi, in this election, lacks charisma. He was a second choice candidate who's been called the substitute, the spare tire, even within the Muslim Brotherhood's campaign, which should give you some idea of how people feel about him. On the other hand, he does have the backing of this enormously powerful and 80-year-old organization. The other candidate, the other liberal Islamist candidate, Abdelmunem Aboulfatouh, is a former Brotherhood member who publicly broke with the Brotherhood and decided to run for president on his own as an independent. In polling, Fatouh is actually doing considerably better than Morsi. Part of that is he has charisma. He's a strong and charismatic man. He's an aspirational candidate. If Fatouh does well in this first round of elections, it will be a real blow to the Muslim Brotherhood. And what it will indicate is, despite their 80 years of organizing, despite their enormous popularity, they failed to beat an upstart candidate.
And it could split that Muslim Brotherhood vote there, which would be very interesting. Is there a women's vote today that is significant that you can track? What about the youth vote? And what about the Christians? Will they have a voice when all is said and done?
Well, let's start with Christians, because obviously one of their big concerns is what happens if Egypt's parliament, which is currently run by Islamist parties, is combined with an Islamist president. Christians in Egypt, for the most part, are leaning toward Amr Moussa, the former foreign minister of Egypt, who is a secularist, and toward Ahmed Shafiq, the law and order candidate. Women, on the other hand, are split in four ways, in the same way that men are. More religiously conservative women are going to go with the Brotherhood's candidate. The Brotherhood has a huge constituency among women. Liberal women tend to prefer the liberal Islamist, Abdelmunem Aboulfatouh. And then, of course, I spoke to a lot of women so far this morning who are really concerned about security and say these issues are going to guide their vote. There is a fifth candidate. His name is Hamdine Sabahi, and many of the young people that I spoke to today said they plan on casting their votes for him. So Sabahi is also a guy worth watching.
Indeed. And it's unlikely that those young people will take the offer of candy from Shafiq if there is a victory there. Noelle King, freelance journalist, watching the electoral results in Cairo. Noelle, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
We leave you with one of the very hopeful voices of this historic day in Cairo.
This is something wonderful. I feel everybody is happy because really it's a dream. We have our freedom. Egypt is getting born right now.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.